Man, God's people give him praise this morning for how awesome he is and mighty he is. And I want, if you can have a seat, man, I'll tell you, I just want to just say this morning, just thank you to this praise band for leading us in worship. I'll tell you what, they did a phenomenal job. And I am just continually touched and blessed by all those that are coming to serve and to help every Sunday morning. You know, this is a new place, and we're still figuring it out. We're still trying to get all the bugs worked out of the system, but it's slowly coming together, don't you think so? It's coming together, and we're thankful for that. And it's exciting to see this. And we want to celebrate what the praise band's doing, but let me just say a big thank you. You have to do this every now and then because you don't ever want people to think that you don't appreciate them. But did you know there is a steady crew that comes here at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Sometimes they have coffee. If not, we got to get it to them quickly, okay? But they're here serving and making this happen every Sunday morning. Don't we appreciate them that do that? And the reality is there's always room for more. So, Kenny, how can I get involved in setup? I'm so glad you asked. Show up at 8 o'clock, all right? That's all you got to do. Every one of you are officially initiated into Sunday morning setup. You just got to come at 8 o'clock. And so you all have my blessing to come at 8 o'clock. So there you go. But we're glad you're here. As Taryn mentioned earlier in the service, she talked about how last Sunday was Easter. And we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I told you in my sermon that it was a part one of a part two message. There just wasn't enough time to do everything that I wanted to talk about, a reason to live, in one sermon. There had to be more than just one sermon for that. So today we're beginning, and if you have your sermon notes taken out and follow along with us today, it's there. And we want you to get your Bible, and we want you to turn your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So today as we're talking about the reason to live part two, I hope that God speaks to you. This is what we're dealing with today is foundational, absolutely foundational for every single human being. Now, I'm not just saying that. I really mean that. Everything we're dealing with today is 100% applicable to your life wherever you are. Because we're talking about why you're here. What on earth are you here for? We're talking about why God allowed you to be born. Why the Lord put you on earth. And I hope what we see today is that God would do just a great work. So with that said, take your Bibles this morning. Open up to the book of Acts chapter 1. Jesus had resurrected from the dead. He was appearing to several people. He was teaching them. And the time came for Jesus to ascend into heaven. Now, we call that the ascension. That is when Jesus was after he resurrected, he physically, bodily was alive, he ascended into the clouds. So he literally was taken up in their sights, almost like levitation, so to speak. But he was floating up in the air, and the clouds hid him, and he disappeared. So we pick up at the very last words of Jesus in Acts chapter 1. We look at verse 6, and this is what it tells us. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Remember, the Israelites were expecting a Messiah that would free them from Rome, that would bring just this global peace, that would usher this in, even after the resurrection. They still think that. They think, okay, Jesus, you have died, you rose from the dead. Are you now going to bring the kingdom here on earth? Are you now going to do this? I mean, surely to goodness, this is the end of the story. You died, you rose again, the end. Right? Right, the end? And it's not the end. It's not the end at all. So he goes on to say, when they come together, he said, Lord, this time are you restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You've heard me preach on that verse several times. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Acts 1:8. But it goes on, it says, after he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. Now, they were angels is who they were. So here are the disciples. They're watching Jesus ascend into heaven, and then they're just standing there looking at the clouds. These angels come, And they ask him, they say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you've seen him going into heaven." So, Father, may you bless your word. Help me today to hide behind the cross. Speak to us in a real way. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's just do some recap here real quick. If you're following along your notes, after Christ rose from the dead and before he ascended, he spoke with the disciples. And this is what I want you to pick up and catch what he told them. They were told to wait for the coming of the Lord, or the coming of the Spirit. It's supposed to be the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit had not yet come at that time, but he was going to. And the Spirit of God was going to fill them at this time called Pentecost. And the Spirit was going to come down and do a great work. And they were supposed to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. And he did come. They were told they would become witnesses. They would become witnesses. And sure enough, they would. They would go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. They would preach. They would teach. These men that were so timid and so afraid, now they were filled with the Spirit. They went boldly into the streets, boldly proclaiming, preaching Jesus. One of the greatest testimonies of the reality of resurrection. One of the ways that we know that resurrection is real is because they were scared to death, the disciples, at crucifixion, and then something happened, and now they're boldly preaching. So do the math. A plus B equals C. What happened? Jesus, they were scared when he crucified, he resurrected, they saw Jesus, now they had the boldness. I mean, if he never did resurrect, why did they just get all this boldness all of a sudden? Why'd that happen? Well, the reality is he did resurrect. That's why they were bold. Y'all with me on that this morning? So they would become witnesses. And why? Why did Jesus not restore the kingdom then? Why did he then send them out? Why? Because the story was not over. Say this part with me. It was just beginning. That's pretty cool today to think about that. The story was just beginning. New creation, new life was now taking bud in the earth. New life was springing together through Jesus Christ. Now, when we trust in Jesus, some similar things happen. When we give our lives to Christ, we too find ourselves in the shoes of the disciples. For example, when we place our faith in Jesus, we receive the Spirit upon belief. So when we give our lives to Christ, Ephesians 1 seems to indicate that we are filled with the Spirit at belief. The Spirit of God lives inside of those that are saved today. And then God gives us purposes, and we're going to explain that here in a second. When he saves you, he then fills you, and then he gives you a purpose to live. He gives you meaning. He gives you significance. He gives you a reason to live. And then we become part of God's plan. The overall story that began at resurrection of new life, new creation, is continuing on and on and on, until we find ourselves here on this day at this college auditorium preaching about the kingdom. And we are part of that story that God is doing and doing something great with. Now, what's funny about this is that when the disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven, they stood there looking. Can't you just picture that? He's going up, 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 up. He's gone. They're just looking in the clouds. Crickets start chirping. They look at each other. Now what? What now? And then God has to send two angels and say, "Boys, what are you doing? Why are y'all looking in the heavens? Why are y'all standing up there staring in the sun? Don't you know that you got work to do? He already told you. You be my witnesses. Don't you just gawk up in the heavens. Go do something. Jesus will come back the same way he left. Don't you worry about that. He's done told you what you're supposed to be doing." Now, when we were in college, there was a guy that that lived in our college town that was not mentally ill, not mentally well. He had some mental problems, but he had believed that the world was going to end on such and such day there in Campbellsville. And this gentleman, had a van, and on that van he had spray painted Bible verses, you know, all over the van. He was living in his van. He was sitting on top of his van. He had these signs that said the world's going to end on such and such date. The world's going to end on such and such date. And at that time, me and Taryn were married. We just recently married. Taryn was working at the Kroger that was down by this guy on the van, and I took her lunch on the day that the world was going to end. You know, you still have to eat when the world's ending, you know. So I took her lunch on the day that the world was ending. And he had taken white spray paint. And he had, and Taryn, my wife, can vouch for this. Amen, Taryn? It's true. And he had spray painted the entire van white, covered up all of his Bible verses. And he had taken a can of black spray paint, and on the side he wrote, "It is over." Of course, you know, my wife is working down the street, so I call the police and say, "Anybody watching this? You know, it's over. We don't want any bombs going off at the Kroger." You know what I'm saying? So I'm a little worried. And this gentleman, he had set up a lawn chair right in front of his van, and he had two other people with him. And for hours on that day, they just looked right up in the sky, right up in the sky. And you know what? That day came and it went. And the world was still there. He didn't do well after that, by the way. We need to pray for him. He didn't do that well after that happened. But you know, as I thought about that and I was preparing for this sermon today, you know, if I knew the world was ending tonight, if I knew the Lord was returning tonight, you know, I don't think I would just stare at the sky. I think there would be neat people that I need to tell about Jesus. Are y'all with me on that? I think before I went out, I would want to do what God wanted me to do. I think I would try with all my heart to be the believer that Jesus was wanting me to be. Not just stare in the sky in a lawn chair with "it's over" written on the side of a van. That's not God's plan for us. But you know, we do this all the time because we give our lives to Christ and then we say what? Okay, you get saved, you're going to heaven, now what? Well, unless you die today, heaven might be a long way from you for some of you all. Is that fair to say? Might be a long way for some of you all. And the question is if you're saved, are you saved, bear with me, just to go to heaven? Now, you may throw rocks at me and leave the church after I say what I'm getting ready to say. But I don't think you're saved just to go to heaven. I don't. I think you're saved to glorify God. To give God glory. Here's the deal. If heaven was knee deep and with mud and cold and freezing and miserable, I would still want to go to heaven because that's where Jesus is. So as long as in my life and my heart is beating, I believe and know that God has a purpose for my life. And He has a purpose for your life. If the goal was just to get you to heaven, you know what would happen when you got saved? You die immediately. Do you know that? Boy, talk about an altar call, man. I mean, you know, not a method for church growth, right? You know, get saved and then kill over. But that's not the reality. You give your life to Christ. Why? Yes, heaven is home. I'm not undermining that. Heaven is home. But there's so much more. Or why would your heart still be beating? Why would your lungs still be taking in air? Because God has something for you. Now, the problem with this is when we start talking about, well, I would just rather just stare up into heaven and wait for glory. Let's wait for glory land. Let's wait till Jesus comes. Life is so miserable. Life is so hard. It's awful. It stinks. I just can't wait to go to heaven. Then you've missed it. You've missed the new life, the new creation that God wants to do in you to fulfill His purposes in your life while you're alive, to live for God, to do something for God. The Lord. So here's the reality. We're faced with two choices. When we give our lives to Christ, we will stare into heaven and do nothing. That's an option. You get saved. We don't have pews, but we used to say you get saved and warm a pew, right? Just warm a pew. Just Sunday. You punch your clock. That's all it is, right? A lot of people think that. Or we will live out, here's your blank, or we will live out God's purposes for our lives. We will accept the Lord into our heart and then do nothing, which is not honoring to God. Is that fair to say? or we will allow Jesus to save us, forgive us, and then have purpose and meaning to go forward. Here's what's awesome. Everybody's looking for the meaning of life. And what they don't understand is that God spells out the meaning of life in Scripture. You don't have to go to some guru on top of a mountain to discover the meaning of life. It's in the Bible. It tells you that you exist for God. So therefore, since you exist for God, His purposes for your life is how it's defined. And somebody would say, well, I'm looking for my purpose. Well, then you've messed up again. It's not about you. You know, you'll hear me talk about this theme every year a little bit. I will always go back to it because of how foundational it is. But it's just simply not about you. It's not about you carving out your purpose in life. It's instead about you aligning yourself with God's purposes. And you fulfill what God has called you to do. Well, what has God called me to do? There's five things that God has called everybody to do. And this is going to sound like a broken record to some of you all, but it's so important to say this. Five things that you're supposed to be doing when you give your life to Christ. Five reasons for your heart to beat. Are you ready? First, live celebrating. Live celebrating. The Bible says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Now, how many of you all have been to churches where it is more exciting to watch paint dry than to sit in that service? You ever had that happen before? I have. Why? Now, why is that? Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be order in the church or there shouldn't be structure. There needs to be structure in the church. Absolutely, there needs to be. But here's the deal. When we gather together for worship, we're to celebrate God. He's alive, right? He's a living God. And as a result of Him being a living God, we have a reason to celebrate Him. But this is more than just Sunday morning. Our daily life should celebrate God's presence. Every day, celebrate who He is. He's alive. When you wake up, He's waiting on you. Before you even get out of bed, you should praise God because you're breathing that morning. You should praise God because He's giving you another day to fulfill His purpose for your life. Another reason to live when you wake up every morning. You know, it's the worship band does a good job. They lead us. My wife is called into worship ministry. These folks have been gifted in amazing ways. But the worship has to go beyond just this. Because if you're only getting your worship on Sunday morning, you are missing a purpose of your life the rest of the week. See, your worship, your celebration of God, of Jesus, has to be more than just Sunday morning. Now, yes, it does come in many ways. Through singing, through the hearing of God's word being preached, through giving, when we give of our tithes and offerings, that's an act of worship. When we baptize, you know, we're going to baptize here real soon, and that's an act of worship to God. When we meditate, when we take the Lord's Supper, these are times of worship of God. But however it is, every day we should wake up and praise Him. To praise Him. You know, we are, our culture, I mean, it is our culture that we are injected with negativity in our culture. Is that fair to say? Some of y'all are like, no way, because you're negative, right? You know, so negative, you doubt that you're being negative, right? But we are so injected with that. You know, it might do us a little bit better instead of naysaying everything. Quit your naysaying and start your praising. Be thankful for what God has given you. There's an old song that says, count your blessings. Name them what? Older, some of our senior saints, help us. Name them one by one. Isn't that awesome? Name them one by one. You got a reason to praise God. You do. So every day, celebrate. You have God's permission to enjoy Him. Now, I know in some of our churches, that's not what's taught. God is scary. He's there to hurt you and strike you down. And yes, there is a side of God that judges sin, that's full of wrath. We do not make light of that. His judgments are true. There is a judgment side. But here's the thing I know as well, is that God also wants you to praise Him and to enjoy Him and to fall more in love with God every day. So one of the reasons that you live on earth is to celebrate God. But second, another reason is to begin demonstrating. Begin demonstrating. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another, John 13:35. Jesus said one of the trademarks of a follower of Christ is that you love each other. That you love each other. Now, we know the old saying, actions, finish it with me, actions speak louder You know, Jesus said something like that too. If you love me, you'll do what I command. He said that one place too. So when he tells us that we're to love one another, this is more than just, hey, fist bump, I love you. Give me a hug, I love you. This is a demonstrative type love. Y'all with me on that? Where if somebody is in need, what do? You help them. When somebody is struggling with something, what do? You assist them. You take the load off their back a little bit. You guide them, you lead them. However that is, you do that. Now, a lot of people have mistakenly thought that the minister of the church is the pastor. That he is the minister. And that all ministry flows through the pastor. Now, if you've been through 101, this is a little bit of a broken record for you, isn't it? And for the rest, maybe this will entice you to come to 101 a little bit. But here's the deal. My job is not to be everyone's minister. Do you know that? Well, Kenny, that's not what I grew up with. That's not what I heard. Well, can I lead you to Scripture? Is that fair to say? Bible's a good place to get my job description. Amen? Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 says this. It's not on the screen, but just listen. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors to equip his people for service so the body of Christ may be built up. Now, you know what that tells me? That my job is to help and train you to discover your ministry. Now, does that mean that I don't have a personal ministry? Oh, no, I do have a personal ministry. Absolutely. There are people that live on my street, in my sphere. There are people that come that I personally come in contact that you won't, that I'm to help. Does that make sense? But there are also people in your sphere, in your network, that I will never come in contact with. Why? Because I don't have to. You know why? Because God's put you there. And I think there's something really important about that, because one of the reasons you're living for Jesus is to help people. Now, on Sunday morning, many of you all are using your gifts to set up curtains, to set up sound equipment, to haul tubs. And there's folks back there right now teaching the children. And man, I'm grateful for them. And they're using their ministry. But for some of you all, that might also be, you know what? You bring coffee to everyone at your work on a Friday with gospel tracts, making a difference. Or it's that neighbor that you live next to that needs their car worked on, and you go work on their car. And when they begin to see you doing that, living out your purpose to demonstrate the love of Christ, they're going to look at you and be like, why do you do this? Why do you sacrifice for me? Why do you help me? Why do you do this? And you know what you're going to say? You ready? Because I love Jesus, and I love you. I love you, and I love Jesus. And God does that. See, as long as your heart's still beating, you're supposed to be helping people. Isn't that awesome? You're supposed to be helping people. And now, again, what's great about this is that means that if you know Jesus, all of y'all are ministers. That doesn't mean you're all going to preach, you know? That doesn't mean you're all going to lead worship. No. That's not what that means, but you are going to demonstrate the love of God. Is that fair to say today? Whoever. You know, and some of you all are already using your gifts in such awesome ways. There are some people in this church that are already doing things that are behind the scenes, and most of you don't even know about it. And they don't want credit for it. You know why? Because that's their ministry, and they're serving God for it. And we celebrate the Lord for that. I mean, there's so much more I could say. This afternoon, I'm going to be doing class 301. How many of y'all been through 301? Remember when we talked about discovering our ministry? I'm going to be doing another 301. So if you've been through 101 or 201, come to 301 this afternoon. And we're going to talk about that. It's good stuff about how to discover your ministry. So understand that you got to begin demonstrating. Third, you got to start communicating. If you really want to live out your purposes for God, you have to start communicating. Paul says this, "This grace was given to me." This is kind of a lengthy verse. It's kind of weighty, but bear with me. "This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints." Now, if you're following along in your notes, underline "to proclaim." Underline that. "To the Gentiles, the incalculable riches of the Messiah." And underline this part, "to shed light." for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is God's multifaceted wisdom, underline this part, may now be known through the church, the rulers and authorities in the heavens. Now, what am I talking about? Paul said that he was saved, a very vile sinner, saved by God. And that now his goal was to make Jesus known. It was to tell everybody that he could about Jesus. Everybody that he could about Jesus Christ. Now, likewise, your purpose in life, you ready for this, is not just to help people in the name of Jesus, you ready? But it's also to tell people about Jesus. I heard a missionary say one time that if all we do is clothe the orphans and feed the hungry, we're sending people to hell with full stomachs and clothes on their back. Good point. Is that fair to say? Now, the reality is they don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you got to have it all together. You got to be helping, and then you also got to be communicating Jesus Christ. So think again, who can you be inviting to church? Who at your work, who's not yet here, that's going to be sitting there, sitting over here? Who do you need to bring with you on a Sunday morning? Who do you need to tell about Jesus Christ? Well, Kenny, I just get so nervous. Remember, you'll receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. You may think you do an awful job at telling people about Jesus, but man, you are underchanging yourself. When you let the Holy Spirit take control and God's moving in your life, it could be the most weak, pitiful, poor presentation ever. But God will speak into somebody's heart through your mouth. Did you know? Who believes that today? I believe it. All you got to do is just open your mouth and tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell people about Jesus. And by the way, our church can never stop growing. One thing I love about this auditorium is that there's so many seats. We have a good crowd today, but it looks small. Why? Because this place seats almost 400 people. Did you know that? It seats almost 400 people in here. That's why it looks so thin, but there's actually a pretty decent crowd here today. What does that do for me? That encourages me to tell people about Jesus, right? To bring them here. So understand that one of the reasons you're on earth is to tell people about Jesus. Fourth purpose, you ready? Is to get prepared in life. Is to get prepared. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the elementary message about the Messiah, let us go on to maturity. Everybody say with me the word maturity on the count of three. One, two, three, maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God. Finally, we're told in the fourth purpose that we are to mature in our faith. Now, why is that necessary? Because if you're going to be helping people and celebrating God in a deeper, richer way, and you're going to be ministering and telling people about Jesus, you need to know what you believe. So preparation is the study of God's Word. It is being together, chewing on what God is giving us, studying the Bible every day. One of your purposes in life is to grow closer to God every day. Now, God uses all kinds of ways to help us with this. He uses events, He uses people, He uses circumstances to teach us about His character. But there is one primary method that stands above all of them, and that even all of those should be interpreted through this one method. And what is that? The Bible. Why is Life Community a Bible-believing church? Because we know that God's Word speaks truth into our lives. It speaks into us. So we hold on to the Scriptures. Thus, one of your purposes in life is to study about God. It's to learn about God and to every day to wake up and to experience God. And say, well, can't it be so much easier if we just got to heaven and we learned all about Him then? But here's what God says. No, no, no. I want you to learn now. Before you go to heaven. You know, I want you to discover it now. Don't you love God's style? Don't you love His style? Yeah, you'll know it one day, but I want you to learn now. By the way, that's why it's important to be part of a life group. In the month of May, we're going to be having life group promotion. And we're going to be talking a lot about getting into a life group. And how many of you all were in a life group this last time around, this last semester? Many of you all were. And we're going to have them again through the summer, through June and the next few months after June. And I really want you to be in one. Why? Because this preparation, discovering your purpose, the community, It is so, so important to study God's Word. It's important to know what the Bible says. On Sunday morning, you get kind of one level, but in a group, you get a different level. It's a deeper type study that you really need in your life. The fifth purpose that you're on earth is to be connected. It's to be connected. Now, as we, Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, here's what the Bible tells us. It tells us that when we give our lives to Christ, it is not solo. It's not just me and Jesus. There was an old song back in the 70s called Me and Jesus Got Our Own Thing Going. Remember that? Except there's a big problem with that. That is completely 100% theologically bunk, okay? It's awful. Awful. So why is that? Because when you give your life to Christ, it's not just about you and Jesus getting your own thing going. The Bible says that now you're part of a bigger body. That's why we have the local church, because we come together to be with each other. One of your purposes in life, are you ready for this? Is for you to be connected to each other, to know each other, to know who Daniel is, to know who Hunter is, to know who Wayne is, Bruce is, Karen, Tamara. List goes on. To be in this thing together and to do life together and where we can use our gifts together. That's why the local church is so important. The guy says, well, I can worship God out of my bass boat. Yeah, you better be worshiping God, but you're only fulfilling one purpose. There's more than one. There's more than one purpose. And one of those purposes is to be connected. And I want to tell you this real quick. When you get connected to each other, loving each other, doing life with each other, God does some powerful things. And I want to show you just in a real quick way of what God does. So, Sam, turn the sound up and check out how God does this.
Life community played a very important role in our son's birth.
We had a very difficult pregnancy with Eli. I ended up with severe preeclampsia and health syndrome. We delivered at 31 weeks, so Eli was a little more than 2 months early. He was 2 pounds and 6 ounces when he was born. The church offered up so much love and support and prayers for us during our whole journey. One of the last things that I did while pregnant before going in for emergency surgery was talk with Brother Kenny over the phone and pray with him for the safe delivery of Eli and to keep me safe during the surgery as well. We truly believe that the power of prayer is what helped us make it through and is the reason that Eli is here. And all of the prayer that we received, the majority of it came from our family at our church, Life Community, and people that they knew. We have so many people that have prayed for us that we don't even know because they're just friends of members of Life Community Church. So we want to thank everybody at the church for everything they've done for us, from getting us gift cards for gas to go to Louisville while he was in the NICU there, to bringing food over, but most importantly, just for the love, support, and prayer that we've received from everyone. The church has played such an important role in our lives, and we don't know what we'd be doing here without them. Thank you.
Thank you.
And there he is over there. His debut. There he is. He's like, I love my church. See, guys, it's important to be connected. Would y'all agree with me on that? It's important to be connected. It is so important. And if you're not connected, you miss out on one of the reasons God put you on earth. Now, listen, I know church people are weird. I know they are. I spent the majority of my life around them. But the reason is this, is that we have this obligation to be connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, maybe today you walked in here and you thought, man, Kenny, I have no idea about the reason why I'm supposed to live. I have no idea why I'm supposed to live. And I'm telling you, if you know Jesus, you just don't have one reason. You have five reasons to live. Worship, ministry, discipleship, evangelism, and fellowship. Five reasons why you're here today. The meaning of life. To glorify God. I'm going to ask our band to come this morning. And we know that without Jesus dying on the cross, Him shedding His blood for us and sacrificing for us, we would never have any purpose at all. We would never have any meaning. But that in itself, the blood of Jesus should show you how much you're worth today. It should show you how valuable you are. Maybe today you've never given your life to Christ and you would need to give your heart to Jesus. Would you bow your head today? Close your eyes, and the band's just going to softly play and get ready for worship. Maybe today you've never given your heart to Christ. You say, Kenny, if I was to die today, I'm not going to heaven. I'm not going because I'm a sinner. I'm going to split hell wide open. I know that. But I also know that I want to have a reason to live. A reason to live. Maybe today is the day that you give your life to Christ. Learn your ABCs. Admit to God you're a sinner. Believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And choose to follow Christ with all your heart. Maybe you need to pray this for the very first time, a simple prayer that goes like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe you died for me and you gave your life for me. Please come into my heart and save me. Thank you for saving me. I believe you died and rose again. In the name of Jesus. There may be some others today that are believers and that you are fully realizing the potential that God has in your life to get in line with one of these, with all five of these purposes. My prayer is that you'll do that. So, Lord, thank you. Help the church, help those that are Christians today to know, Lord, that they have a reason to live. God, I pray if they need to come and ask you, Father, to show them, Lord, how to minister, I pray you'll show them. If they need to unite with the church, I pray you'll give them the strength to do it. If they need to make their salvation public in worship, to be baptized in worship, God, help them. Lord, I pray that we would all know today we're not accidents. We are not mistakes. But you have a reason for us to live. And Lord, you are that reason. My decision today, Lord, is to live out my purposes, live my entire life for you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. We have room at the altar now. We cleared it out. We got it ready. If you need to come and pray this morning, you come. You need to make a decision. Unite with the church. You come right now as we worship today.